Man. Well, guys, we are about to begin. Hopefully, it's not going to scare you, but we're about to begin a fast. Amen. 21 days is going to start on Monday. If this is news to you, you're already crying. You better eat those sweets quick, but you're going to pay for it in the long run. Maybe you've already had too many sweets. That's my problem. I've already had too many sweets. So praise the Lord. But guys, we've had a great Christmas. Hopefully, you've had a great Christmas. All different things have been happening, New Year's. But we love to begin the new year with a 21-day fast. And it's not just a, hey, if we didn't pray, it would just be a dad. But if you pray and you seek the Lord, then it becomes a fast. And suddenly he does incredible things. And so for a few moments today, we're going to talk about that. I want to talk about some verses first, and then we'll get to some details about the fast. But anything we don't get to cover, if you are part of our emails, you're going to get it in the emails. If you become part of our WhatsApp group at the end, then you'll get it in the WhatsApp group. We will try to make it as easy as possible for you to know all the details. But let me say this from the outside. Fasting is completely biblical, and in fact, it's highly expected. It's just a normal practice of a new believer in Christ. And maybe you've never done it before, then hey, no condemnation, but I want to dare you in faith to try it this time. Amen? It is not about how much you don't eat, although that's a part of it. It's about how much you can feast on the things of God. And by denying your flesh, you can strengthen your spirit man or spirit woman, whatever way you want to say it. But God is here and he wants to do great things. And here's our theme. We believe that mountains are going to move. Can we read Matthew chapter 21, verse 21 and verse 22? We're going to read it together. Now, if you got your Bibles, then this is a key verse. So I'd encourage you, get this on your phone, get this Bible verse going, and start to meditate on this, because I believe God wants to show something fresh and something new in these verses. So here's what it says. Jesus spoke to his people. He says, truly, I tell you. In other words, he's saying, I'm going to tell you something truthful. I'm going to tell you something really truthful, and I want you to get it. Especially if you know Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, then this is going to be important. It's always important, but this is extra important. He says, if you have faith and do not doubt. So he said, if you've got faith and you don't doubt, not only can you do what he did to the fig tree, which he cursed it and it died, but he said, you can also speak to the mountains and they will move. It says, but you can also say to this mountain, go throw yourself in the sea and it will be done. And then I love this last part. If you believe, you will receive anything you ask for in prayer. Wow. Now, can I let you into a little secret? When I first discovered these verses a long time ago, my eyes lit up. I was like, yes, better than Aladdin's genie, better than anybody else's thing. He's going to get me what I want. I'm going to pray. It's going to be easy. I'm going to be a millionaire. I'm going to have cars. I'm going to have whatever I want, whatever I want. I'm just going to pray. It's all going to be easy. But again, let me tell you a story. So early 20s, which is too far back now, it's terrible. But early 20s, and you know, we had a lot of people come to church, and people were saying, hey, if you're hungry for God, come to the front, we're going to pray for you. So I go to the front, and I said, well, Lord, what I'm after is more fire, more boldness, more anointing. I want to wax some people in the Holy Spirit. Amen? You know, I'm ready to go. And every time that they would pray, wisdom, wisdom. And it felt like a bit of a dampener. But the more that I've lived life, the more I realize what Solomon asked for. Remember he said, when God said to Solomon, what do you want? He says, I want wisdom. This is the thing about these verses. You could get everything you ever wanted, and it could be a nightmare. Or you could have the wisdom of God. Know how to pray the will of God. But this is the part of this verse. God says, I want you to know that in me, your faith can move mountains. In me, your faith can move mountains. And as we start this new year, we've got big plans, church. We are aiming that this wall goes, that wall goes, that this roof goes up, and new buildings hopefully come around it. That's what we're hoping. And in the meantime, we may have to move out, and yet the Lord's taking care of that. We've got a church just up there, I was going to say down the road, but it's literally up the road, up the hill, that is welcoming us and said, hey, come use our space for as long as you like. Can I be honest? When they first told me, I was like, I've been there before. It's a bit old and dated. But when I got there, guess what? They'd renovated the whole place. The Lord knows every one of your heart's desires. Come on, church. God is doing all that he needs to do. He's simply saying, will you come with me? Will you walk with me? And as you walk with God, especially for these next 21 days, I have a feeling and faith that he wants to change you, and you're going to grow in ways you never thought you needed to grow before. And that's the heart of this verse. It's saying this verse is for big men and women of faith. And it's to show them that in Christ, nothing is impossible. But for the immature in faith, then it looks like you can have whatever you want. But for those that are maturing in faith, it's a reminder that with faith and no doubt, God wants to move mountains through my life, and he wants to move through me. So as we think about it today, here's where I want to go. Is it his kingdom or my kingdom? And this is maybe our first big challenge that we have to think about as we start 26. You see, when I was a lot younger, 20s, teens, it was all about me. I just wanted my world, my things, my stuff, my possessions. All I thought about was the four walls of my bedroom, and then eventually the four walls of the car or whatever it has, the four sides of the car. And then after that, all I was thinking about is the money, because the only thing I need is the money, and then I can do whatever I want. But the more that I've walked with God, you know, I've begun to discover, is that it's not my kingdom, it's his. I'm just a part of it. I'm just a part of his kingdom. So I have to learn a new role. My role before was, it's all about me. My role after I come to Christ, it's all about him. That's a big transformation. It's a big change, especially in our culture when it's all reinforcing you or somebody else. But I want to become less so he can become more. I want him to do great things through me and in me. And so as I mentioned earlier, in the early days, all I thought about was what I want. And then I began to realize, I need the wisdom of God. I need the wisdom of God. Now, as we think about these verses chapter 21, we have to think of the context of the day. So if you remember back, it's part of the Easter story, really, where we get these verses. So Jesus has just rode into Jerusalem. He's coming into Jerusalem. He's trying to sort some things out. He's come in for the fanfare. Within a week, he's going to be on the cross and be risen from the dead. But he's coming into fanfare. And then he comes to the temple. You remember what's going on in the temple? They're doing such silly things. They're not worshiping God in the temple. They're more interested in money. In other words, they've got distracted. They've got distracted. You know, some of us have known the Lord for a long time, but we've got distracted, or we've got numb, or we've got a little bit cold, or we've got a little bit concerned or consumed with other things. But I want to say to us today that our primary focus at all times is to live like Christ, is to keep Jesus high and lifted up, and watch how he leads your life. And so Jesus gets to the temple. He says, guys, you made a mistake. In fact, he gets cross. He starts chasing people out. He cracks the whip, and he says, get out of here. You're trying to hold my people back from worshiping me, and you've put money as a stumbling block. So Jesus is doing a whole bunch of things. And then eventually he confronts empty religious leaders, and then eventually he exposes fruitless spirituality. And church, this is where we need to get exposed. And maybe through the fast, this is how God's going to gently, or maybe at times, I was going to say harshly, but he doesn't tend to do harsh, but he tends to do exposing. And he'll reveal it in love with truth. And he'll say to you, hey, I need you to take this thing a tiny bit more serious. Or, hey, I need you to walk through this valley because it's going to be worth it, because I'm going to teach you some things that's going to transform your life. And God's coming to us today, and maybe he's coming to your heart today, and maybe he'll come to your heart over his next 21 days, and he's saying, I want you to grow, I want you to be formed, I want you to become mature in the things of God, I want you to grow in the things of God, so that your asks and your requests become differently. See, Jesus is not there to hype us up. This is what I was thinking about. I was thinking last night I was doing some final notes and just some final prayer. I thought to myself, Jesus didn't come to hype us up. Can I be really honest? Jesus came to break us. He came to break us, because the junk and the trauma and the issues and the pain and the relationships and the life that's just been all over us from the day we were born, it all needs broken off. It all needs broken off. All those lies, all those things, it all needs broken off me, because I am now a child of God. And if you've given your life to Jesus, you're a son or a daughter of God. And that's a whole lot different than maybe you grew up, or a whole lot different than your experiences. And so God has work to do, and he's saying this, I'm a master builder. If you will present yourself, if you will give me your life, if you will honor me and seek me, I will build you extraordinary. I will transform you all the way through. And so here's a big question. As we go out of 25 into 26, who are you becoming? Who are you becoming? Who are you becoming? Now, I want to remind you, if you're a Christian, then that means you're a disciple. And if you look up the word disciple, you know what it means? Well, you could take it to the simplest form, which means follower, or maybe better described for us, a student. Now, a student of what? A student of Jesus. A student of Jesus. That our job and who we're becoming is to become more like Jesus through studying the Word of God, spending time in the presence of God, and allowing the Holy Spirit to consume and lead and fill your life. Amen? And so as we head into this new year, I know there's a whole bunch of things you have to do. Maybe there's work things. Maybe there's house things. Maybe there's renovations. Maybe there's car things. You know, the list could be endless. But my question is this: who are you becoming, and what is forming or what is transforming your life? Because the people around you are doing it, because the situations, the environments you find yourself in are doing it, the content that you consume is doing it. And so unless we make a decision, we're going to be transformed and formed whether we like it or not, or I'm going to be intentional and I'm going to say to myself, okay, actually, I'm a disciple of Jesus. That means I'm a student. That means I'm an apprentice. That means I'm a follower. You call it whatever you like. And so if that is the case, then I'm going to do this in my life. And so what does a fast do? A fast gets us extra time to spend with Jesus. A fast gets our heart focused on the things of God, no distractions. Our heart gets us focused on Jesus so he can make more room in us so we can carry more of what the Lord has planned for us. So as we get into this year, the question is this: who are you becoming? Are you becoming more like Jesus, or are you becoming more like somebody else? Are you becoming more like your friend? Are you becoming more like the person you follow on Instagram? Are you becoming more like that YouTube influencer that you're really fascinated by? Are you becoming more like Jesus? I want to encourage you, there's nobody like him. Second thing is this: faith is not positive thinking. You know, sometimes people will say, well, this whole faith thing's just positive thinking. I want to say to you, absolutely not. Positive thinking is based on your willpower. Faith is based on Jesus, amen? And when Jesus came into my life, he transformed everything about me. Now, on the surface level, it looks like positive thinking because you're just talking different. No, I'm talking different because I met a Savior. He transformed my life. See, the whole idea of a Savior is that I was saved. Before I was lost, now I am found. I used to have my own content. Now I've got his content, if you want to make it relevant. I used to be trying to write my own story. Now I'm trying to find myself in his story. I used to be trying to figure out my life. Now I'm just saying, Lord, take my life. Do you know what I'm saying, church? Like, everything has changed for me. And if you've become a follower of Jesus, everything has changed for you. You're no longer concerned of where you're going. I'm just concerned about worshiping Jesus. Because if I follow him, he'll lead me all the places I need to go. Before, it was all about, where am I going? Have I got enough? Can I provide? Can I resource? Can I do this? Can I do that? I had to think about everything. Now, I just follow Jesus, and he leads my life. And that's what he wants to do for you. You see, our biblical faith is rooted in who God is, not necessarily about who I am. It's shaped by obedience. Come on, the goal of every Christian is, how do I become a little bit more obedient to the things of God? Somebody asked me this morning, what fast are you going to do? I said, I'm going to do another Daniel fast. Because what I have discovered is, as I keep doing it year on year on year, sometimes twice a year, but as I keep doing that, I'm becoming more obedient to the things that God's called me to. Like, honestly, church, that's how it's got better for me in the fast. It's not that I figured it out more. I've just become a tiny bit more obedient. In the early days, I was cheating loads. Anybody like cheating? I was just cheating loads. I was like, oh, that wouldn't be too bad. Yeah, no, a little bit of this. Nobody would ever know. You know, like, a little cheat. Do you remember my story about one day I was in the middle of the fast and it was all going so great, and then Nikki pulled up in her car. That's my wife. She pulled up in a car, and what did she have in the seat? A crunchy. Like, every fast is going to break if you see a crunchy. It was game over. Came over, but now I've become much stronger. Praise the Lord. It must be your prayer support. But, you know, we're trying to discipline ourselves, guys. And it's that idea of, if I become more obedient, then I'll see more of the goodness of God in my life. And that's what fasting helps us to do. It helps us become obedient, and it gives us power and his anointing to help us to get through. See, faith in this story is not about cheap faith. It's not about, well, sure, whatever you want, God will give you. I'd be very careful about that. I'd be very careful. In fact, I'd be very careful about the things I pray. I want to pray dangerous prayers, but I want to make sure that they're rooted and shaped and aligned with God's heart. Otherwise, I'll get things that make no sense whatsoever. You ever got more of what you didn't want? Because here's the thing. When you get more of what you do want, you will always get more of what you don't want. I was chatting years ago to a friend. I call him a friend. Come on, let me tell you a story just for a minute. So we go to Audacious Church every year, or we like to go to the leadership thing. And there's a pastor there called Glenn Barton, an amazing guy, an amazing leader. He's now like the leader of all of AOG all over Great Britain and maybe Europe as well. Not quite sure. So he has got thousands of people in his church, and he also has thousands of churches, or hundreds of churches at least. Maybe it is a thousand or two churches that he has to lead and help. And so we get to meet him every year, and he's always courteous. He's always kind. But he said to me one time, he said, Darrell, you know, if you ever want to talk about elephant, here's my number. Just give me a phone. Now, like, in my mind, I'm going, that's unbelievable. Like, that's unbelievable. But I'm never going to make the phone call because it's like, what? He's enough things to do. And then one day, about a couple of years ago, I said to Nikki, you know, I'd just love to talk to somebody. It'd be great to ask somebody a bit of advice. And she goes, why have you never like phoned Glenn or text Glenn? I was like, oh gosh, like, why he wouldn't talk to me? You know, like in your mind, you make these things all up, but you forget he's actually a Christian who loves God, who's probably a decent person, not some celebrity. But so I remember texting him. He goes, sure, well, let's have a chat. So we made an appointment or made a date sort of thing. We phoned on Zoom and we chatted. And here's what we talked about. I said, Glenn, oh, and it was quite funny. I said, Glenn, oh, I've got all these problems, blah, 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 blah. You got to fix them all for me. And he says, Darrell, do you think I've got any less problems? I just have about 1,000 or 2 more. He goes, because as things grow, you get more of what you don't want. Every time you get what you do want, I want more money. Well, you're going to get more responsibility. Like, I want more opportunities. Well, again, you're going to get more stress. You're going to get more of this. You're going to get all of those different things. And so God's trying to say to us, church, of course I want to bless you. Of course I want to give you all the things you're after. But if you don't grow, then what happens when you get those things? Will you be able to sustain it? Will you have the maturity? Will you have the character? Will you have the honesty? Will you have the humility? Like, will you have the heart? You know, guys, we have to think these things through because some of us are dreaming for the stars, and I love that, but we're not prepared to get up on time to spend time with Jesus. Do you know what I'm trying to say? I'm trying to be real. You know, some of us want to have a worldwide ministry, but we're struggling to pray for the person across the street with us. You know, it's like, I'm making up extreme examples. Maybe it's relevant, maybe it's not. But you know what I'm trying to say? We have these huge dreams, but at the end of the day, if I can't put simple discipline in place, if I can't be faithful with the little I do have, then why would the Lord trust me with more? Because we have to be good stewards, and he's a wise steward. But the heart of the verse and the heart of the chapter is that if you've got faith and do not doubt, you're going to see God do great things. But God wants to work in you. We're very concerned about the mountains out there. He's very concerned about the heart in here. Number 3, do not doubt. You know, maybe you've heard some people say, well, I shouldn't doubt. You know, as a Christian, you should never doubt. Can I just reframe it just for a moment? You know what I think healthy doubt is? Great questions. Great questions. I think when people ask questions, they're not necessarily doubting. They're just curious. They're like, hey, what fast are you doing? How do you make it work? What do you do when you get the sore heads? Like, that's not somebody doubting about fasting. That's someone asking great questions, wondering, what do you do? And I think sometimes we have canceled questions because we've seen it as doubt, when actually it was just curiosity to learn. And questions are how you always learn. I mean, have you ever studied the life of Jesus? I think he asked something like, I can't even make it up, but do a study, or do ChatGPT if you really want, and ask it, how many questions did Jesus ask rather than the answers that he gave? It's ridiculous. He asked way more questions than he ever gave answers, because questions are going to change your life. Questions, great questions, are going to change your life. Do you know what I think what the Lord means here when he says, if you would believe and not doubt? I think what he means here is not by questioning or doubting in the form of what we've just talked about. I think what he means here is that you would have faith and then have an undivided heart. That you would have faith, and then you'd have other options. That you would have faith, but inside, you'd be divided. Again, quick story. We're hopefully believing, faithfully going to step into all that the Lord's called us to this year with the building project. But back before we bought this building, it was 2014, I think it was. 2014, this is what's funny. We had just done the deal on the building. The problem was we had no money. How do you do a deal with no money? I don't know. Just don't tell them. So we didn't tell them. And then we find out when the date would come, we had to pay the money. So we had to pray a lot. That's what you do. When you get yourself in hot water, you pray a lot. Amen? So we done the deal for $45,000. We just had no money, but faithfully God started to bring it, and people were just extraordinary. But in around middle January, I think we had to have the money in about 3 or 4 weeks' time. We had about 11,000 pounds. And I remember just standing. You know, sometimes when you're worried, you start pacing. There are other times when you're worried, you can't sleep. But if it's during the day, you may be pacing. I started to pace. I was like, oh Lord, what are we going to do? We have to get this 45,000. We've got 11,000, which is unbelievable. These are all the thoughts. And I was like, but we're still a long way short from the 45. And then you go, wow, maybe his mom would land it, and maybe that. Yeah, he starts thinking all these different things. Undivided heart. You know, I'm trying to have an undivided heart, but it's divided all over the place. And I remember the Lord speaking clearly just as we walk around the kitchen. And he said, you've got to let every single one of those things go. Otherwise, this thing's not going to happen. And I was like, what? I thought it was good to have options. He says, it is, but this one's going to distract your faith. You've got to remove all those things. It's not that you have to phone them up and say, no, I don't want this. He just says, take them off the table. There's too many options in your prayer life. There's too many other options. And again, I'm not saying it's not good to have options. But at this point in time, the Lord clearly spoke and he said, you need to lay all those other things you think might work down and trust me only. Guys, if you don't know the story, we had a prayer time the next Wednesday night. We went from 11,000 to 25,000 just overnight. I don't even know how the money came. We thought, well, if it worked once, let's do it twice. So we did a prayer meeting the next Wednesday, and we went from 25,000 to 39,000 just overnight. And in the last couple of days, we got all the money and paid it. And the rest of the story is just, it's incredible what the Lord has done. But what I'm trying to show us is this. Even in the good things, even in the excited times, it's easy to get a divided heart. God says, I'm trying to encourage you. You can put all of your eggs in the one basket. You can put all of your trust in me. We're taught in life, don't do that. Diversify all of this. When it comes to Jesus, exclusive. Amen. When it comes to living your life as a Christian, I'm all in on Jesus. I don't need a second option. I don't need a mini Jesus. I don't need a mini Savior. I only need him. He's more than good enough. He can take care of the whole world, plus you, plus me, plus everybody else. I'm all in on him. And I want to say to you, here's the challenge. Can we get into this year and go to myself, I want to lay down some more options. I want to lay down some more ideas. I want to lay down some more of that internal division. And I want to get closer and closer to him so I can trust him with everything. See, guys, it's easy to trust him when the stuff's easy. But when it gets to your kids, or it gets to money pressures, or it gets to life pressures, or it gets to relationship pressures, you know, it's like you can pray them and then take them back off them. Because you go, I don't know, I can't cope. Maturity in Christ allows us to be able to resist longer. It allows us longer to be able to say, it's okay, Lord, I'll leave it with you. I know sometimes we'd snatch it because we're so concerned. But I think the key to victory is to continue to give it, continue to trust him, continue to trust him. So it's not about doubt and questions. I think questions are healthy. I think it comes down to not being divided. When I looked a little bit deeper, here's what I discovered. The point that in the Greek, which the writers of that New Testament, quoting the words of Jesus, are trying to portray, is that this idea of we're either going to trust in ourselves or we're going to trust in God. This was the heart of what they're trying to say. If you would have faith and only trust in God, you could speak to that mountain and it would move. But if you have faith that's a little bit divided, that's a little bit in me or in somebody else or my resources or my possessions and a lot in him, it's still diluted. It's still divided. The goal of us as Christians is to walk with the Lord so I can trust him more. It's to walk with him more so I can give him more. You know, it's like in your own friendships. The more you know someone, the more you'll give them. Okay, here's the password to all my money. It's like, here's the keys to my home. Like, you will give them more things the more you can trust them. Jesus is saying, walk with me and watch how you'll be able to give me more of your heart. Let's go for it in 2026. A couple more. Whatever you ask. Isn't this an incredible statement that Jesus finishes off with? Whatever you ask. Like, is this not too dangerous? Like, is this not way too dangerous that the Lord gives us the secret? Like, this is like, I don't know, you're maybe looking for the secret of immortal life. Or you're looking for the secret of how to be incredibly rich. Jesus just spells it out for everybody to see. Ask whatever you like, I'll give it to you. If you have faith, and maybe you've searched it up before, that you only need a little bit of faith, like mustard seed faith. That's all that's required. It's not about the quantity of faith. It's the consistency. If I have a little bit of faith and I don't doubt, then whatever I ask, be done. Wow. Church, this is the power and the authority and the incredible gift that the Lord wants to give us. The only question is, have you got the wisdom to carry it? Have you got the relationship to follow it through? Have you got the responsibility, the awareness, the leading of the Spirit to be able to know what to ask and then how to carry it through? God send whatever you ask. What an incredible, incredible reality. See, when I first started off as a Christian, this is what I find. I started off as a Christian. I thought, yes, I've been saved, so I'm happy, I'm content in that. But I realized very quickly that my spirit was saved or inside had come alive and I'm no longer going to a lost eternity. But the same old me was there. The same old me, the worrier, the doubter, the angst, the anxiety, the everybody's better than me. You know, I just be seen and not heard. Like all of that stuff was there. Isn't that incredible? You know, you've just been saved. You're going to find eternity with Christ. You're a new creation in Jesus. And yet the old man can be very much there. It needs dealt with. And God says, if you've got courage, if you've got faith, if you can trust me, if you can bring that to me, here's what I want you to know. It's not about try harder. It's about surrender. It's not about trying to be better. Trying to be better will kill you because none of us can be good enough. It's about surrender. It's about seeking him. It's about worshiping him. It's about following him. And day by day, he's going to transform you. Will you trust God with your life? That's really the question. Will you trust God with your life? Can I tell you what way it worked out for me? I got so sick of trying to do it my way with him added on. I got so sick of trying to fake it till I make it. I got so sick of trying to make it happen even though nobody else knew that inside it was internally destroyed. I got so sick of that one day I just said, Lord, I'm sick of this. I'm going to go your way. And I think at that point he just laughed. And he says, okay, that's what I was waiting for. That's what I was waiting for. And then bit by bit, you know what happened? I thought the way he's going to do it. This is what I thought. I thought I was going to go to prayer for about 20 minutes, maybe 25. And after that, I was going to be clothed with anointing from on high. I was going to walk out like a Holy Spirit Jesus Iron Man. And I was going to transform the world everywhere I went. Amen? It didn't work like that. Not for me. What it worked like was he gave me an opportunity. I was scared to death, but I took it. The opportunity was over. I was scared to death it would come again. It did. I trusted him. I did it. Somehow I got through it. He gave me another opportunity. That's how it worked, church. That's how it worked for me. I want to say, I think that's how it works for a lot of us. I know some of us, the minute we got saved, we threw the cigarettes away or we stopped drinking. But for many others, it's a little bit by little bit by little bit by little bit. And even those that got a red hot start, they have still got a lot of work to do because it's just one area and then it's everything else. See, the goal of my life is to produce much fruit. The goal of my life is to overcome the things that are trying to consume me. The goal of my life is to try to die to self so that Christ could live through me. And every day, as I start to surrender and give a little bit more and worry and give a little bit more and still worry and give a little bit more and still worry, I started to realize after a while, I should give myself a break. I was getting better. The Lord was doing something. He was doing something. And so my encouragement as we start 2026, would you surrender a little bit more to him? See, in the early days, here's my first instinct, panic. It's all going to go wrong. It's all going to go wrong. I was always in a rush. I was always stressed. I was always full. I wouldn't use that word anxiety because I didn't know it, but that's how I felt. Just on edge all of the time. Trying to just stay chill, but inside down. And not sure where to turn. Thinking, I've got the word, I'm praying, I'm reading. And then I began to discover there was so much more in Jesus and that he was not finished with me. In fact, he'd only just begun. And he wanted to walk with me every day. And he wanted me to walk with him. And slowly but surely, what I began to realize was prayer was my first response. I started to trust God more. And then this one was really, really important. I started to take a minute. I started to be able to pause in the midst of chaos. Instead of, sometimes you just look at a friend, you just wish, if you would just slow down, it's going to be okay. And you wish you could see it in your own life, but it's hard. But you can always see it in somebody else's. If they would just stop, they'd be fine. But this is what I started to notice for me. I started to be able to pause. I started to be able to slow down. And then it's when God would do some of his best work. Church, I know the goal of our lives is to stand on the mountain and say, look at me, I've made it. But nothing gets transformed on the mountaintop. It all gets done in the valleys. Amen. It all gets done in the valleys. That's where you're going to grow. That's where you're going to face the pain. I get it. That's where you're going to go through the hardships. But that's where you are going to find the goodness of God. And that's where he's going to transform you. And the journey of my life is the one that can be the same for yours, where you trust the Lord, and then suddenly, whatever I ask is not about the big cars or the fancy this or the fancy that. It's like, Lord, would you help me to have the courage to take that opportunity to share my testimony? That's what it was in the early days. Lord, would you give me the courage somehow, some way to help me to be able to worship? Would you somehow, some way give me the courage to be able to talk to that person? Lord, would you somehow, some way be able to help me to go there because I don't want to do it? Would you somehow, some way, Lord, when I'm right in the middle of it, would you keep me going because I just want to run away? Like, that's what the whatever I can ask is. Can I just say that? I know sometimes we go to it's to be a millionaire, it's to be this, the thing or that. But what if you had all the money, but you were still broken inside? What if you had all of the stuff, but you were still a mess inside? Nobody wants that. The world's full of it. I wanted to be formed from the inside out. And so the most dangerous prayers I prayed were based on this verse and rooted in these verses. And it was simple things like, Lord, help me to make it through. I'm a nervous wreck, but I'm trying to get there. I'm trying to get whatever you ask, it's going to be okay. And so I believe. And you know what I used to do? Again, you can laugh if you want or you just smile and go, that's me. I used to say, I believe about a million times. Because that's what I thought wouldn't make it work. I thought if I just say believe about 50 times, it'll definitely work. Lord, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. And I would just keep going, I just kept going, I just kept going. And then I realized, come on, the Lord doesn't, he knows on the first breath that I believe. He knows on the first breath that I believe. He's not concerned in my belief in the words. He's concerned with, will I take the step? Will I take the step? And church, I want to say to you, 2026, what if 2026 became more about you taking simple steps of risk, rewrite of faith, rather than the big dreams and the big, have them things, But how you're going to get there is simple steps of faith. God transforming you. God forming you. God removing some things. God healing some things. So why are we fasting? Well, we're fasting so that we can make more room for him. More room for him. So very quickly, let me give you a few things. Now, again, if you're part of our emails, you're going to get all of this stuff. If you're not part of our emails, then it'd be a good time to get signed up to the emails, and then you're going to get it. Or we'll give you the WhatsApp at the end. Not now, but we'll give it to you at the very end, and you can become part of it. So why do we fast? And why are we fasting this year? Well, we like to start every year with a fast because I think it reminds us of who we're following and who leads our lives. Jesus said one time, man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the Father. So we are people that are more than just flesh. We are people that are more than just the bones, the blood. We're so much more. We're spirit people first. And the Lord wants to remind us today that he has called us to live by the Spirit. And so for a short period of time, here's what fasting is. It's abstaining from food for a short period of time for a spiritual purpose. Now, if you just don't eat and that's it, well, you know what that's called. It's a diet, which is fine. Do a diet if you want. But they don't tend to work. But a fast always works. Amen? And a fast is abstaining from, primarily in the Bible, it's food, but I understand it can be other things because of the season you're in. But it's abstaining from something that your body naturally wants to put down your flesh so that the Holy Spirit can feed you in things that you need far more. Spiritual things in God, where he fine-tunes you and transforms you. So I want to give you five quick things. You can make note of them, or I'll send them in the email later anyway. The first one is, fasting realigns your heart. Can I say from Matthew chapter 6, Sermon on the Mount, regarded as the greatest message that's ever been given in the history of man, which was Jesus. And right there in the middle of it, he says, I've got a high expectation, and here's one of them, when you fast. It's not if you fast. It's not when you think about fasting. It's not when you fancy it. It's when you fast. This is the ways to be. When you fast, here's what's going to happen. When you fast, this is how your life's going to be transformed. The early church fasted all of the time. Guys, we're not above it. We're not fasting because we're trying to twist God's arm. We're fasting because we want more room in our lives for him. So the first thing is this, it realigns our hearts. When I fast, life slows down. And this is important to think about because a 21-day fast, it's like a marathon. Not that I know about a marathon, but I've seen a few boys do it. Praise the Lord. But when you do it, you're not going to win it with a sprint, are you? You're not going to run it with 100 meters. You're going to win it over the miles. You're going to win it over the miles. For the 21 days, you're going to have to win it over the days. It's not going to be over the minutes. You're going to have to win it over the days. So if you start off mad, you're going to finish mad, like really quick. But when we trust the Lord, watch what he's going to do. Things will slow down. Maybe for these 21 days, you'll say, right, I'm going to limit some activities in my life because I want to have more time for him. Remember, that is the goal. It's not about the not eating. It's about feasting on the things of God. So maybe you're going to limit your activities. Again, I want to encourage you. Fasting will work if you give it to God by faith. Number one, it will realign your heart. Maybe you're sick of your heart being this thing and that thing and sweat and broken and twisted and all over the place. It will realign your heart to his. Matthew 6:16 teaches us that. Psalms 63:1. I'll send you these verses later. Number two, we fast to create space for God. Matthew 4:4 said that the early church would create space for God by fasting. Why? Because they would put that flesh down to allow the Spirit to rise up. You know how it goes. Every few hours, your tummy's rumbling or somebody's telling you, we got to eat. Half time, you don't need to eat whatsoever. But you're not fast for that short period of time. You can set aside some of those things and you can feast on the Lord. And I'm telling you, what you will find is an energy, is a life, a transformation power you can't get from anything else. The interesting thing, church, is you've seen it. All the gym guys, all the dietitians, all the guys are starting to realize it. Fasting works. Now, their fast is just not eating. Our fast is spiritual first. Our fast is feast on him. Our fast is cutting out some things to get more of him. When you do that, it's not only physically transforming, it's spiritually transforming. And it would radically transform you in all the ways that you can imagine and think. Number three, we fast to deepen our trust. And this is a hard one. I trust you, Lord, but I'm really concerned about this issue. I really want to trust you, Lord, but I've got trust issues. I really want to trust you, but I really care for this situation. I really care for them. There's something about fasting that just allows you in the presence of God, where you get to receive from him in ways that sometimes it's harder to, and you begin to trust him in deeper ways. We fast to be formed, not just to see results. That gets you results. Fasting transforms you. Fasting transforms you. My heart constantly needs change. If you notice, your heart wants to tell you all sorts of different things, but a heart yielded to God will be a heart that can follow God. If I don't, you remember what some of the verses said. Your heart's deceitfully wicked. Out of the issues of life come from your heart. Out of your heart, the mouth speaks. Everything flows from our hearts. Absolutely everything. Every idea, every hate, every worry, every unforgiveness, every pain, every... It's all flowing from my heart. I used to think it was everybody else. I used to think you were the problem. I started to realize it was me. Amen. Praise the Lord. I started to realize it was me. The Lord needs to do a work in me. You're totally fine. You do you. I need to work on me. I need him to transform me. So fasting changes my heart. Number five, we fast to pray with clarity and faith. You see, there's something again about fasting that allows you to have a focus, allows you to have a clarity. You'll see it physically. You know, sometimes people say, what's it like when you don't eat for a few days? Well, what you'll discover is the first few days, especially if you've had a lot of tea and coffee or sugar, you can tend to get a lot of sore heads. But once you get over those sore heads in the first few days, suddenly everything starts to come alive. Suddenly even your body starts to come alive. You think it's going to be a decrease in your body? Yes, to a degree, but you will start to notice the benefits in every part of you because how good God is. Pardon me. And so the Lord is here to challenge us. And so this year, as we step into 2026, I believe what we're praying for and what we're going to see is, number one, undivided hearts. I think that would be unbelievable as we would allow the Lord to work in us over this next 21 days into this year. Number three, deeper transformed disciples. Just deeper transformed disciples. Less about the surface and more about the depth. Less about just trying to get what we want and more about what does his kingdom say? I mean, you saw Jesus at the end of his life. He makes this radical statement, not my will but yours be done, Lord. And when does he make it? Just after he asked the question. It's not that he was doubting. He just asked the question. Is there any other way, Lord, that this thing can be done? Is there any way? Why? Because Jesus is smart. He had an idea of the pain. He had an idea of what he was going to have to go through. He started to think about, oh my goodness, I can already feel the weight. I can already feel the pressure. You know what sometimes happens when you know you've got a big date coming up, or you know you've got a result day coming up, or you've got an appointment coming up that's big? You start to feel the pressure. You start to go into cold sweats. Your body already starts to react, because the minute we start to take this on board, we start to already begin to feel it. But Jesus not only felt it for himself personally, he started to feel it for the whole world, the pressure and the sin. So what was the question? He said, Lord, is there any other way? But let me tell you this, Jesus had led his life all the way up to this point for this moment, and even at that moment he asked the question. But then you see the transformed life come out. You see the transformed heart come out. And what does he say straight after? Not my will, but yours. Wow. Wow. Church, you cannot just flick a switch for that stuff. That is dedication. That is trust. That is walking with the Savior. That is spending time with Jesus. That is sacrificing a little bit of sleep to have more time with him. That is getting into books even though you're not a reader. That is listening to some podcast even though there's a better show on Netflix. You know what I mean? That is coming out to worship on Wednesday nights when you've got so many other things to do. Why? Because you realize I want him more than I want anything else. These 21 days, guys, I want to challenge you. 21 days could transform you forever if you would seek the Lord and trust him in fresh ways. And then thirdly, kingdom-aligned prayers. Wouldn't it be unbelievable that you could see your prayer life rise up, where you would know how to pray, that you would just have an awareness from the Father himself of son, daughter? No, like this. Pray like this. Okay, Lord, I'm almost like a communication. Lord, I see it like this. No, I read this. And you just get an awareness of what to read, and the Lord just directs you, and he begins to align your prayer life. I'm telling you, there's nothing like it. There's absolutely nothing like it. You will sell everything else once you get it. The problem is you gotta put a little bit of effort in to get there. Amen? You gotta put a little bit of effort in to get there, but by his grace, he will enable you. Okay, last little thing, and then we're gonna go to finish off some worship. Maddie, give me the one of all the different fasts you could do. And again, you're gonna get this email, so don't get too concerned. You can Google some of this stuff later, but I do wanna say it, because fasting has become such an everyday occurrence and an everyday thing, you must make sure it's a biblical fast. Otherwise, I've had some people come to me and tell me all sorts of funny stuff. So, because it wasn't a biblical fast, they got into a gym fast, which allows you a whole load of other things. The point of the fast is this, is to simplify. Remember that. It's to simplify everything so you have more time to focus on Jesus. If it becomes complicated, it's too much. So you have complete fast, liquid fast. Can I just say this? Unless you are a professional faster, the first two are right. Amen. Praise the Lord. The first two are right. They are way too hard. They are way too much. You're going to spend so much time focused on what you're not allowed to do and just trying to get through. They're very difficult. Please talk to us if you're thinking about those, because they are hard. But the third one, the Daniel fasting from then on, I think any of us could do these ones by faith. By faith. For many of us, what we go after is the Daniel fast. It's a really, really powerful one. It comes from the life of Daniel. Again, I've got no time to go into it, but you can do many Bible studies on it. Just search Daniel fast Bible and read all about it. Not just secular stuff. It's got to be biblical stuff. Otherwise, it'll lead you astray. But what you'll discover is that Daniel fasted. And when he fasted, he saw results that you cannot believe. All the way through the New Testament, you see Jesus, he talked to the disciples one time. He says, why could we not cast out the demon there? Why could we not heal the sick there? And Jesus said, because this one comes with prayer and fasting. There's a power that comes to your prayer life. There's an infilling of the Holy Spirit that can't come any other way but through prayer and fasting. It's for a short period of time. I've had friends in persecuted countries that wanted to do fasting back to back to back, but their pastors had to come to them and say, you're going to kill yourself. It's not for an extended period. But they're like, you don't understand the power that we're experiencing. They said, we know, but always the gift is Jesus. Always the purpose is Him. Always the purpose is Jesus. It's not you as a superstar. It is Him. But watch how, as you get close to Him, He's going to transform everything. Come on, let's stand together, church. We're going to pray. But my challenge as we go into this 21 days of fasting is that you would take up the challenge. Use today, use tomorrow. We're going to kick off tomorrow. Go for this thing. Now, there's a few different ways you can get involved. Maddie, give me the last one, bro, of how you can jump in. There's a WhatsApp group, so you can become part of the WhatsApp group. Now, some people don't like the WhatsApp group, but it's simply because the other people's getting on too well. It discourages them. But no, the WhatsApp group, it will be full of useful information. You can jump in and out of it as and when you want to, but I think it's a good thing to be a part of, because remember, there's two different types of fast in the Bible in the sense of the different types of fast. The first one is a private fast. That's for you, and you keep it private. But the second is a church fast. That's the one we're doing, so you can tell the whole world. It's good to be together. It's good to be in community. And then the most important part, whether you're in a WhatsApp group or not, doesn't really matter. The most important part is you've got to be on the same page when it comes to reading the Bible. And if you're not going to read the Bible when you're fasting, then you're missing the point. It's got to be about this. So you need to become part of our Bible plan. You can jump in there. Every day it's going to give you some scripture to read. It's going to give you some thoughts devotionally. There's going to have some questions that you can answer. And there's a real beautiful part of this. And I always encourage all of us to do it. Only a few ever do it, but I'm believing for this time. We'll jump into the comments section every day and share of what the Lord has spoken to you about during a devotional. Don't leave it silent and just read everybody else's. There's something about it when we jump in together. So last thought, we're going into this fast. I'm going to encourage you. We'll send you lots of info in the emails. But just to reiterate the point, you need to prepare, number one. You need to pray to get yourself into this. You need to pray to get yourself through it. Fellowship during this time is massively important. If you commit to the extra prayer times that we'll have, it will be a lifesaver to you. We're going to do Zoom prayer times. We'll do in-person prayer times. We'll have a Wednesday worship. I would make those things essential over this next 21 days. I would make it less about you and more about God over these 21 days and watch what the Lord will do. And then lastly, I would prepare almost like a little schedule of how you're going to spend time with God every day. For me, this is how I became more successful, where I would get up earlier and I would have a schedule or a plan. Maybe 10, 15 minutes reading the Bible plan. Maybe 10, 15 minutes praying. Maybe 10, 15 minutes reading another Christian book. Not just any old book. It has to be something that's going to grow your soul. And then maybe 15 minutes just sitting in worship. Maybe that's an hour. Maybe an hour's too much for you. That's fine. Go to 30 minutes. Go to 20 minutes. Work yourself up if you need to. Better start with less and get to more. But I think if you don't put a good plan in place, you'll find yourself drifting. Amen? You'll find yourself just going here, there, and everywhere. So go for it, pray about it, and get ready for God to do some wonderful things. Come on, let me pray. Lord, I thank you today for your goodness, and I pray, Jesus, that you would just speak to us. This whole thing has to be by faith, otherwise it will be by works. But Lord, faith without works is dead. And so we got to put some effort into this, Lord. We got to put some of our heart and soul into this thing. And when we do, we will see fruit, we will see gifts, we will see multiplication in our lives that will radically, well, we'll just be so surprised. Lord, I'm praying that we will be deeply formed over this next 21 days, that we'll be deeply transformed by you over this next 21 days. Lord, help us not to focus too much on what we shouldn't do. Help us to focus much more on what we are going to do, which is spend the time with you. Lord, give us faith to step into this. I know for some of us this seems way too daunting, but by faith we can do all things. Lord, we don't want to prescribe danger. We just want to prescribe stepping into it. Lord, thank you for all you're doing. Bless your people in Jesus' mighty name.